Oh, have you sisters changed your cooks? You change your cooks. Are all fishers of charity equally good cooks? Are they? And say, you are a good cook yourself. You sit down to a meal. You start eating. Oh, no. Then you say a prayer for the cook. Voluntariety. The more my will goes in what we do, the more merit, and here, the more of the temple punishment is removed. And that was all question number one. Question number two. Father, what did Pope Gregory the VII mean? They are present at his body and blood, not only by means of a sign and of the efficacy of the sacrament. Well, what Pope Gregory the VII meant was, the real body and blood are there. In other words, he consecrated first the bread. Looks like bread. And the consecrated wine still looks like wine. A sign is not the reality. Do we use the word sign our name? We sign our name. Is that signature we? Of course not. Oh no. Is your mother here? Yes. Now that picture is a sign of mother. Is mother really there? No. A sign is anything in the sensibly perceptible order, whether seen or heard or touched or felt, or say incense at benediction, is a sign. Sign of what? Sign of God's majesty, and that we, our prayers, I've never seen incense, well, going down. Why? Because incense is lighter than air. It rises. Incense is a sign. Sign of our prayers of adoration as we say, ascending to God. Your habits and mine too are a sign of our consecrated life. We make the sign of the cross. You know how the sign of the cross started, don't you, sisters? It started in the first century. Remember, the Christians could not have any churches above ground. They had to dig deep under the city of Rome. And there they would have mass in hiding. All the catacombs had, well, deep holes in the ground. And there were guards standing at those holes. And those who were Christians the sign to identify themselves as Christians was. And then the God let him down into the catacombs. So, Pope Gregory says, the Eucharist is no mere sign, no mere symbol of Christ's presence. It is His presence. In what spare time you leave me here a little bit to have to prepare these classes. Frank and I are working on a book, maybe two volumes, on the Holy Eucharist. Book one will be the Holy Eucharist, explaining the doctrine. Book two will be a manual to be used by those who will teach what Holy See told me to teach Eucharistic theology, to give Eucharistic instructions. And bishops now, several already in the States, are ready to, well, require their priests, for example, to take the course. And the one thing we better know is it's so widespread. The Eucharist, symbol. Of course. Holy Eucharist also, for example, the double consecration, symbolizes Christ sacrificing Himself. But is there a real sacrifice? Sure. Why? Because there's a real Jesus Christ with a real what? Real human will. Sisters, it's the will. In Latin, es voluntas. It is the will that is of the essence of sacrifice. Well, let's go on. I left one. Sisters, you're very kind. Please keep this box filled. And now I think we still have to finish our, I think it is, was it? 1-3-13, eh? Okay. We talked about penalty, the church defining. If anyone says that God always pardons those, or pardons the whole penalty together with the guilt, anyone who says that is a heretic. And sisters, be sure you know the words. Guilt, remember, is what? Loss of grace. And penalty is what? Death of suffering, or death of pain. Now I distinguish between pain and suffering. Pain is whatever is contrary to the created will. That's pain. Suffering is a rational experience of pain. The rational experience of pain. That's why, in the strict sense of the word, animals have pain, but they do not suffer. in theological language.